Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 2 of Unfashionable. My name is Andy, if you don't know me by now. I will be your host until death do us part. Love that for you. Yeah, so I just want to get right into it. I don't like to waste anybody's time. So last week, we talked a little bit about a dream that I had during my REM sleep. And when I was writing this next episode, I was like, why do I have the need or feel the need to say REM sleep? Because I didn't know what it meant, but I've heard it before. I looked it up and it turns out that that's like the fourth phase in our sleep cycle where our most vivid dreams occur. And yesterday I had a vivid dream again, but it was around like 2 o'clock. So if I were you guys and you fucked with last week's episode, I would pay attention to any dreams that you have between like 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. the latest. But if you guys are into it, like for sure, let me know. Let me know how that works for you. Now, enough about our dreams in our sleep. Let's dive into why we're really here. And that's like our dreams in real life. Okay, and how we can like actually begin to make them happen for ourselves. Because why are we going to rely on anybody else? Trump is president. No, thank you. He's not my president. So when I was little, and this might like, I'm telling this story. I know people are going to judge me for it, but like, I don't give a damn. I'm telling this story because it's affected me in the way I move in my life. Okay, so when I was little, 7 to like 9 years old, maybe even younger, I lived in Palmdale. I had very hardworking parents. I still have very hardworking parents. I love them to death. I'm so glad that they're my parents because they've instilled in me independence and hard work. So we're not just here to fuck around. Do you understand? But my parents had very like 9-to-5 jobs. My dad was in construction. My mom worked in like ophthalmology, which is like she worked for doctors that did eyeballs, you know, like worked with eyeballs. Basically, my parents didn't have any creative jobs like whatsoever. And I had this tía and this tío that worked in the hospitality business. I'm not sure if you would call it hospitality, but they basically were personal assistants slash house managers to a very wealthy man in the Hollywood Hills. Now I got your attention, didn't I? This man, I googled him and he is worth $7.9 billion. Okay? Okay. Even though like I'm sure the environment wasn't very like good for my uncle, you know, it was lots of like parties and like drugs and like all that stuff that Hollywood has. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Basically, when this rich man was out of town, my uncle would invite me and my family, or my family, to the house to kick it. To just kick it in the Hollywood Hills when I was like 7 years old, okay? I just remember overlooking the balcony, like the fucking balcony, and I was sitting, or I would be laying on like the day beds, you know, like those little tanning beds. But it was overlooking LA and it was just the best thing. And like we had barbecues while like Nelly's, it's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes. I know how that sounds. I was 7 years old. But bitch, it was the 2000s. Like I was living, okay? Believe me, I want to drop the address for you guys. But like I'm going to purchase this home one day and I don't want any weirdos on the property. So I can't drop the addy. But maybe if you subscribe or you listen to every single fucking episode and you ride with me until then, I think we can make something work. But anyway, it was pretty poppin' when I was young. And that's not to say that bad shit didn't happen to us. Bad shit happened to us. So before you come for me, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Anyways, as a true Taurus, I felt like I was right at home. Like, I had a pool, I had a jacuzzi, I had food, I had a beautiful bathroom that I was washing my hands in and doing my duties, you know? It was just a beautiful home. But then we would drive back to our actual home in Palmdale, California, and it was just normal. It was a normal life. I was a normal girl. Everything you see, I've made happen for myself with the support of my family, of course, and the delusion I live in. The limit does not exist for me, and it shouldn't for you either. If you don't have that support at home, I will be your support system. Because having dreams means having haters, low key. Like, you can't dream big without someone wanting to, like, stop you or, like, steer you from your path. And that's why I'm here, you guys. I'm here to keep you on your path to your, like, utmost highest potential. I did the whole, like, college after high school thing. I worked in the fashion industry. It wasn't enough for me. I went to school thinking I was going to be fulfilled to get a degree and then to get just a regular old 9-to-5 job. No, dreams change. People change. Your dreams are valid and you have what it takes to make it happen regardless of where your starting point is. We're all on a conveyor belt. Some of us are in front of another. Think about traffic, bro. All of us are on a journey. None of us are on the same one. Why are you worried about my journey when you should be worrying about your own? There is no competition in this world. We're all on our own journeys. And that's what some people don't understand. I got that example from a book that I read this month. It was The Courage to be Disliked. I definitely recommend if you guys are fucking with my podcast, because unfashionable, like, I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do regardless of who's watching and who's listening. Do you understand? There's people that are listening that are fucking with me, but there's also people that are listening just to fuck with me. And to be honest, I can care less, because what are you doing? You're giving me views, you're interacting with me, you're engaging. So you could keep doing you, bitch, but I'm gonna keep doing me, okay? Period. I understand that we don't all have access to 10,000 square foot homes when we're young. Regardless of where you've been or what you've seen or how you grew up, there's a dream living inside of you that is just begging to be redeemed. And for me, it's this podcast. And I'm not, like, telling you guys all of this just to, like, blow my shit up, like, to, like, have a big head. It's because, like, I lived this shit and I had a compass, but I had no direction. Then I quit the industry and I was like, what am I gonna do with my life? But tell it. In 2019, I applied to my second job in fashion with the resume that said video producer. Do I regret it? No, because I still got the job. But at the time, I was recording and editing my own YouTube videos for like 2 years now. So yeah, I'm gonna include my new skills. All I added was videography, and I literally got laughed at by the girl who called me for an interview. And that didn't faze me low-key, because I was like, you don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm a real YouTuber. I have like 100 subscribers. I wasn't working. So what am I gonna do, just sit there and like sulk? No. After I got fired, I was like back on the tube. I was back to filming. And nowadays I know people are watching YouTube videos, but podcasting, it's growing. Obviously, being a designer in LA did not work for me, but then I somehow found sustainability during COVID. And then in that, I found something higher, which is my purpose, to be myself, to be unfashionable, to show up in ways that serve me. Without working in fashion, I never would have figured out how reckless fashion is to our environment. And I'm a Taurus, bitch. I care about that shit. And if I never found out how reckless fashion is, I never would have realized how reckless we're being to ourselves. So what? It took me 8 years to finally find a fulfilling career path. That just means that we have a lot to catch up on. Whatever you want wants you to, regardless of who or what tries to get in your way. Are you gonna sit back and watch someone else live your dream? Or are you gonna chase it? I'm gonna let you simmer on that little question while we close off with our signature section. This week, I am unlearning perfectionism. Because it's way funner showing up like not giving a fuck than to show up and fully give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Excuse my language. If you don't mess with it, go listen to something else. Perfectionism and me, goddamn, we've had such a relationship. And I think I'm just barely gonna hit my 30s. And I'm so glad that shit's out the way. Because the more you grow, the more you learn to realize that if somebody's judging you, it's because they're judging themselves. Okay. And for a long time, I was judging myself because, like I said in my last episode, I felt like I had to show up for you guys in a certain way. And like, the point is to show up. Okay. Make it exist and then make it good. I'm making my podcast exist so then I can make it good. Who's going to stop me? who's gonna stop you? If you are too focused on perfection, you're gonna be paralyzed. You're gonna not be able to move forward. You're gonna be stuck, like not focused, maybe too focused on the wrong thing. So just like flow, go with the flow, bro. Perfection equals paralyzation. And no, on Unfashionable, we like to make shit happen. We don't like to be paralyzed. Nope, we don't even like to be perfect. We just like to be us. I'm so corny and I know it and I don't care, okay? What can you do if you are in a perfectionism mindset? Look at your progress. Focus on your progress. Focus on what you were doing 3 months ago to now. Trust me, you've made progress. You're alive from 3 months ago. Progress is perfection, babe. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you are listening up until now, I love you so much. Let me know if you guys want to keep this conversation going. Hit me in the DMs. Don't be shy. Say hi.